Father God, we cry out to you in song this morning, fall fresh on me. And we mean that, God. We don't just sing those words. We want you. We want you to fall fresh on us. We want your excitement. We want your enthusiasm. We want your zeal, God. And so we praise your people today that you would fall fresh on us. God, we thank you. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. We thank you for the Comforter. We thank you for the Great Counselor. We thank you for being our God who loves us, who cares for us, who consoles us. You are our God. You are our Lord. You are Lord of our life and Lord of this church. We come and assemble under your authority. Father, as we pray together as your family, as your body, we think of those needs among us. We think, Lord, specifically today of Lori, who's undergoing more tests tomorrow. And God, we pray for her. We pray, Lord, that you would give to the doctors wisdom so that they may find and discover what is going on within Lori physically. And so, Father, we pray for her. We pray for David and Tanya as they comfort her, as they speak words to her. And Lord, we pray that you would give them your peace and your strength. Be with them. Lord, we think of Teresa Medvey, who's still not feeling well, and God, we pray that you would give her a measure of health and strength as well. And God, we pray that she'd be restored here once again and fellowshipping with us. We pray the same, Lord, for Henry and Ruth and Herb and Lenore and Connie and Megan. God, just be very close to each one of them and restore them, Lord, to who you are. And Father, where health is necessary, please grant good health. Where consoling is needed, God, please give consoling. We pray, God, that that even those who are grieving, for Debbie and Peter and her family, and for Peter and Diane and Peter's family, and Brian and Margaret, and Brian's family, and David Ryerson, and also for the Van Kunen family, Lord, on the passing of Rod, we lift them to you, and we pray, Lord, that they would feel your comfort and know your comfort, that they would know your peace, that you're a God who does care. And Lord, we know that the Great Counselor is there for us, the Great Comforter is there to comfort us. Lord, thank you that we can assemble as your church. Thank you that we can pray for one another. Thank you that we can uphold each other. You are a great God. Fall fresh on us, Lord. Give to us fresh wind and fresh fire that only you can give. We pray this all in the name and to the glory of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Isn't it great to be here? Sorry to wake you. Isn't it great to be here this morning? All right, okay, good. I just wanted to make sure I heard that. You're not mic'd. I just realized that. I am, but can you hear me in the back fine? Okay. No? Yes? You can't hear me? You lucky people. Next week, choose the back. Okay? They can't hear me back there, so. This is on, right? Nice. You can hear me. Okay, good. How many here have ever lost the gumption to keep on going? Yeah. You know, you're running full steam ahead. Someone forgets to pour water in you, and boom, you run out of steam. You can't keep going. Well, occasionally that happens to me. I tend not to be an enthusiastic person. I'm rather kind of a droning, even-keeled individual. But once in a while, I get excited, and it tends to last a little while. I enjoy being excited. How many of you love the emotion excitement brings? Right on. Good. I'm not alone. Excitement. It has a way of attracting other people. I notice this so often in life. When we become excited, boom, people are gravitating towards it. Can I tell you a story? I just have got to. I can't. You can't stop me. Well, these guys are... They're in the locker room. It's at a golf club, and they're, you know, getting, I don't know what guys do in locker rooms at a golf club, but you know, they're in there, and suddenly his cell phone rings. You probably know this, and sitting on one of the benches, and so this guy picks up the phone, and following conversation ensues. Hello? Honey, it's me. Are you at the club? Yeah. Great. I'm at the mall, two blocks from where you are. I just saw a beautiful leather coat. It's absolutely gorgeous. Can I buy it? Well, what's the price? That's only $1,000. Well, okay, go ahead and get it if you like it that much. You know, I also stopped by their Mercedes dealership. I saw the 2006 models, and I saw one that I really liked. I spoke to the salesman, and he gave me a really good price, and since we need to exchange that BMW that we bought last year. Well, okay, what price did he quote you? Only $60,000. Okay, but for that price, I want it with all the options. All right, great. But before we hang up, something else. Oh, what? It might look like a lot, but I was reconciling your bank account. I stopped by the real estate agent this morning and saw the house that we looked at last year. It's for sale. Remember the one with a pool and an English garden, an acre of park area and beachfront property, remember? How much are they asking? Only $450,000. Magnificent price. And I see that we have that much money in the bank to carry. Oh, well, then go ahead and buy it. But I tell you what, just put in an offer only up to $420,000, okay? Okay, sweetie. Thanks. I'll see you later. I love you. Yeah, bye. Man hangs up. By this time, he's got a crowd around him. They've gathered. Excitement does that. Men are staring at him with astonishment and almost with envy. The husband raises his hand, holding the phone. He asks, "Does anyone know who this phone belongs to?" Tell you, there's some changes happening in that family. Change is a fact of life. We will always go through change. If we're not changing, we're not living. And there are those moments where I'm enthusiastic and excited. There are those moments where I'm almost apprehensive and shy. I know what you're thinking. Dev, shy? Oh, yeah. There's, just ask Joan, she'll tell you. She'll say, yeah, sure, Dev and shy. But there's so much variety as we walk through the process called life, but it's how we allow life to shape us. That's what I want to talk to you about today. I want to begin by jumping into the book of Acts. Please turn to Acts chapter 1, verse 8, and we begin understanding action points of the Christian. Now, notice as you turn there, Acts, it's entitled the Acts of the Apostles, the Acts. Now, that requires action, all right? Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Let's look at this. I love this verse. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. What a great verse. I love that verse. What I notice is that just a few action points in that verse that we need to grab hold of, put into practice this morning, because this is Pentecost Sunday. This is what this Sunday is all about, the Holy Spirit. This is what it's all about, the power of the Holy Spirit. So action points. The first action point is power. The book of Acts begins with a bang. Jesus speaks his final words to his disciples before ascending to heaven, and these are words for us, the disciples. Christ instructed them to stay in Jerusalem until they received the power that they needed. Then they were to go out, expanding little by little. Such power in those words, because they are the words of Christ himself. In order to understand life better, in order to take what comes our way, in order to embrace and accept change, we need to understand the power of the Holy Spirit. You will receive power, said Jesus. Not may, not possibly, but will receive power. Now, what a promise to us. Most of us don't know the potential power that rests right within us. The Holy Spirit is power. You see, it says it very plainly. It can't get any better than this. You will receive power. Oh, you guys are right here, you know. Something happens when the Holy Spirit comes. Not maybe. Something happens when the Holy Spirit comes. Not if. Something happens when the Holy Spirit comes. You know what it is? Power. The power to make it through. The power to sling a home run. The power to change. The power to develop. The power to stand for the truth of God's Word, the Bible. The power of a changed life is the power of the Holy Spirit when the Holy Spirit comes. Now, I don't know if we understand that. I don't know if we grasp that. I don't know if many of us even want to receive this, because when we hear the words, the Holy Spirit, we tend to think, well, that's radical. Isn't that radical, people? It's got to be radical, isn't it? Can I tell you a story? I just got to. Thanks, Drew. Story of a logging foreman who sold a farmer a chainsaw guaranteed to cut down 50 trees. 50 trees in a single day. Guaranteed. You're going to love this, Bob. A week later, a very unhappy farmer came to report that the power saw, it's got to be faulty, because it averaged only 3 trees a day. It's supposed to do 50. Guaranteed. So the foreman, he grabbed the saw, he pulled the cord, the saw promptly went, you know how chainsaws do, and the farmer went, hey, what's that noise? You get it? You know, you got it. How many of us have had a similar experience when it comes to the Christian life? We respond with great joy and enthusiasm. Hey, I've asked Jesus in my heart. I'm excited. But after a while, we think, we've been had. Wait a minute. This is hard. This is tough. I feel like a failure. I can't do this. But the Spirit can help us do it if we ask Him to. He is the power source to live for God. We must plug into Him if we are going to live for Him. Amen? Right on. No Holy Spirit, my Bible says, no power. Without the Holy Spirit, there is no mission. Without the Holy Spirit, there's no change. We lose out without the Holy Spirit, for there is no power. And more than ever in our world today, we need the power of the Holy Spirit in order to effect the change that's necessary in our world. You listen. Listen to Acts chapter 22 about the Apostle Paul. We've talked about him in 1 Corinthians because he knew this action point firsthand. He speaks very truthfully about walking down the Damascus Road, and good old Corinthian writer Paul has been marked as the greatest persecutor of the Christian faith. Yet Paul met his greatest challenge, the power of God. And as he was walking along that dusty trail, a great line shone around him, and he fell to the ground, and he heard of the voice of God asking, why do you persecute me? I want to point something out. I find this interesting, how personal we get when it comes to God. Whenever someone points at us and persecutes us because of our Christian walk, we seem to think somehow it's all about us. And I want you to notice something. God Himself says to the greatest persecutor of the Christians, why do you persecute me? He says. You talk about the power of God. A little later, he surrendered and he cried out, what will you have me do, Lord? What will you have me do? In Acts 22, verses 4 and 5, Paul speaking, he says, I persecuted the followers of this way, the Christians, to their death, arresting both men and women and throwing them into prison, as also the high priest and all the council can testify. I even obtained letters from them to their brothers in Damascus and went there to bring these people as prisoners to Jerusalem to be punished. Paul had been rebelling against God, but now he yielded, he surrendered, he gave up his will, and he gave into the will of God. This is really the concept behind accepting Christ, isn't it? And Paul knew from that moment on, the power of the Holy Spirit in his life. He knew that living there, enables you to be silent when criticized, humble when praised, and patient when ignored. See, Paul knew that he needed to run to God, not against him. And often I find we try as best we can to run against God. Let me add something. I know that when we hear the word Holy Spirit, we become almost fanatic about him. We wonder about various facets of the Spirit's power. We wonder, what's it all about? Some even get so obsessed with it that we begin to pray for things the Spirit should give them, you know, in their mind. I think you should give me this. Okay, God? Don't you think God knows you? Listen, the enemy uses that stuff to draw us away from the Spirit of God. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. Is he not? He is. I know a great deal has been written about the Holy Spirit. A lot of good books out there. But I suggest you go directly to the source of who you are and ask him. Don't be afraid of him. Most of us don't receive the power because we don't ask for the power. We try to go along, you know, all right, I think I can do this. I'm part of a great Bible study group, meets on Monday nights, and we're really an exclusive group. I shouldn't have even said that. No, I'm just kidding. But we were talking about faith and believing last week, and I recall the story about when I was in Bible college, they were planning the vision of the college, and I don't know if you've ever been to Briarcrest Bible College down in Caronport, but they got this big, huge chapel and a whole bunch of buildings, and you drive up, and it's like, whoo, you know. But I'll never forget, they called this meeting for the staff and faculty, and Dr. Budd was there, and Dr. Barkman, and all these big names, and you know, in the college. And Dr. Budd came up, and he shared about this, we got this great big vision, and this is what we're doing, and this is how it's going to go, and boom, there it was. And then I remember Dr. Barkman getting up and saying, now this is how much it's going to cost. Bottom line, this is how much it's going to cost. And I remember the murmurs. And I remember him saying, and maybe even as staff and faculty, we may even have to reduce your salaries to accomplish the dream that God has for this. I remember sitting there going, huh? You got to be kidding me. We can't survive on what Joan's getting now. But anyway. But the murmurs were there, and everybody's talking and you know, saying things. And I'll never forget Dr. Henry Hildebrand. Anybody know him? Ha! Dr. Henry Hildebrand has done more in my life and with this one statement, and because he impacted my faith greatly when he said these words. Because he stood. And when Dr. Henry Hildebrand stood to speak, it's like E.F. Hutton, everyone listens, all right? He said, we can do all we want, but we will never be able to stop God from doing what he wants to do. We can do all we want, but we will never be able to stop God from doing what he wants to do. Today, you drive by Caronport and you see the remarkable accomplishment of that vision. It's the power of the Holy Spirit, people. Change. Action plan. Power and proclamation is number two. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. You will be my witnesses. When I think of proclamation, again, I think of the Apostle Paul because he understood the incredible power of the Holy Spirit because he knew firsthand the change that occurred in his life. He knew that if God could deeply, deep-rooted change him, he could do anything. Peter's another example. So is John. Throughout Scripture, you see time and time again, over and over, how when the power of God brought change, people proclaimed. They just couldn't stop. You think of the miracles of Jesus. Immediate transformation. And Jesus says, hey, now don't tell anybody about this. And what do? They leave immediately and tell everyone, guess what? I've been healed. Jesus healed me. I mean, it's immediate. These people knew that if Jesus can do that kind of transformation, Jesus can do anything. Do you believe that? Now, I'm not saying, do you believe in that? But do you believe that the Holy Spirit can do anything? Then, I have a question. Do you trust him with your problem? Do you trust him with your concern? Do you trust him with your question of today? See, I learned a long time ago that if I truly want to proclaim the power of Christ, that I needed to believe God when he says that he can do anything. Because the God that I know wants the world to know him. It's God's idea. Wants the world to know. No, it's not. It's not the church's idea. It's not your idea. It's God's idea. It wasn't Rick Warren's program. It wasn't Bill Hybels' promise. It's God's idea. But we bring freedom to the captives. Church leadership developer Reggie McNeil said this. He said, God must have had a lot of confidence in you to put you on the planet at just this time. I love that statement. Just think, you've been chosen at this time by God to be here. He wants you to be a part of all this. The people of God, isn't that exciting? Amen? You are here because you need to be here. Don't search for something you already have. God has such confidence in you. I sometimes think that the first Baptist was Jonah. I do, because you think about it, he had to be. He's the most reluctant missionary that I've ever read about. He didn't even volunteer. He didn't volunteer to go to Nineveh. I also point out there was no pulpit committee in Nineveh either. They didn't get together and call for a preacher. I mean, if they had been, Jonah likely wouldn't have been called. I mean, after all, everything about him was fishy. Whose idea that the people in Nineveh would hear about God? Whose idea? It's God's idea. Proclamation's God's idea. I want you to proclaim him in everything you do and say. Now you got to listen here. Because I know, I'm like you, okay? It's easy to start feeling, oh, guilt and shame. Oh, I'm not doing what I should do. I got to get out there and carry my little booklet with me and, you know, go on the street. Oh, wait a minute. Wait a minute. I'm going to venture to say that if God has changed your life, truly changed your life, you are already proclaiming him in who you are in ways you don't even know just by being you. You agree with me? Something happens when the Holy Spirit comes. See, when the Holy Spirit comes, there's a new vitality, there's a new dynamic, there's a new center in our life, and it's no longer about me and my wants, it's all about God and my surrender to the Spirit. The evidence of the power of the Holy Spirit in our life is this. You will be my witnesses. There's nothing else required. Don't get hung up on the Holy Spirit. Just enjoy him. Enjoy him and enjoy who he is. Action plan. Power, proclamation, and passion. Now, I love this. You listen to this. But you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. This is our Jerusalem, right here and now. We gather, we come together here before we can even go out there. We need this. Church is God's people gathered for refreshment, for caring, for encouragement. This is what keeps us going out there into the outermost parts of the world. It's our personal Jerusalem. Something happens when the Holy Spirit comes. There's a freshness, a zeal, a passion. When the Spirit was poured out on those that were gathered, then they go public. They don't stay put. They don't remain inside. They don't remain inside. When the Holy Spirit comes, that the ministry of the Holy Spirit is to point us and appoint the world toward Jesus Christ. Jesus made this clear. He was speaking to his disciples before his death, and he spoke about going away. But he says in John 15:26, New Living Translation, he says, but I will send you the Counselor, the Spirit of Truth. He will come to you from the Father and will tell you about me, Jesus said. When the Holy Spirit comes, he will glorify me, Jesus says. When the Holy Spirit comes, he will bear witness to me. Write this down, right in your brain. The content of the Holy Spirit is the character of Jesus Christ. Bill Bright, the founder and former president of Campus Crusade for Christ International, he said in his book, The Holy Spirit, Key to Supernatural Living, he said this, "The primary purpose for which we are filled with the Holy Spirit is to make us witnesses for Christ through the life that we live and the words which you speak." We point to him. In fact, if you're questioning that, I find this interesting. If you look a little further down in the book of Acts, chapter 15. In those days, Peter stood up among the believers, a group numbering about 120, and said, "Brothers, the scripture had to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit spoke long ago through the mouth of David." I find that interesting because the Holy Spirit spoke long ago through the mouth of King David. See, the Holy Spirit gives passion. The Holy Spirit gives proclamation. The Holy Spirit gives power. Oh, that the Spirit would come, so that we would be renewed, so that we would be renewed in the central proclamation, the central message, the central ministry of pointing towards Jesus Christ. That's how Jesus changes lives. Many shy away from change. I mean, they can't stand change. Even some people have birthdays. We move into denial. We don't want to face that we're getting older, limping more, not seeing well, forgetting where we put things, including our eyeglasses. I said to Joan the other day, I mean, I'm older, by the way. I said, I'm looking all over the place. I can't find my glasses anywhere. I'm getting old. 1 year old, I'm an old man. I can't find, can you see them? They're on your head right in front of you. There. Moving to denial, it works a lot better. You know. If we're passionate about our Lord, we don't fear change anymore. We embrace change. Because the God that I serve is always changing lives. He doesn't change, but he produces change. That's what I love about him, and that's why I'm so passionate about him. Can you tell? And I think our world more than ever needs him, because it's a hurting world. It's hurting so much. In fact, I think that's why country music's such a big hit. I really do. It is. A fellow by the name of Bill Anderson, he's heavily involved in a church in Nashville, Tennessee, and they say that's the country music empire, whatever, castle, I don't know what they call it. But Nashville, Bill Anderson is written a number of country tunes, and one song he had quite a while back, a very popular song, said, "I had you on the tips of my fingers, but I let you slip right through my hands." You know, good song. It made him a lot of money, actually, that song. Another of his songs several years ago, "Walk Up Backwards, So I'll Think You're Coming In." Yeah, you think that one through. Randy Travis, he had a big hit. "If my phone ain't ringing, I still assume that it ain't you." Did you get that? Some songs just shouldn't make it, really. They shouldn't. Some songs, like, it's my favorite, Take Your Lips From Me, Baby, I'm About to Spit. Like, see? It shouldn't make it. You know, it shouldn't make it. One of my favorite songs, "I'm So Miserable Without You, It's Almost Like Having You Here." Country music. Country music is popular. No, it is. It's popular. And they analyze this. Why? They discovered something. You ready for that? Country music is popular because of the lyrics. It is. And people, as they listen to this music, it's they realize it's completely ordinary. And as they continue to listen to the lyrics, people begin to say, "Hey, now that's me. I can identify with that." That's what the church is supposed to be. People are supposed to say, "Hey, I know that person. They're real. I can identify with them." There are people everywhere who know what it's like to hurt. There are people everywhere who know what a big disappointment life brings sometimes. And they search for a word, for something. They wonder if there's any word to take away their pain. There is a word, a name above every name. And this name, you and this whole world must and needs to hear. When the Spirit comes, we are granted a new vision, a new passion of a world that so desperately needs this name. You know the name? Jesus. There's a new understanding of people who hurt, even other Christians, and deep longing and desire to, rather than cast judgment, gossip, nitpick, would rather we should bandage the wounds and ease the pain, not cause it or cut it even further. That's the name of Jesus. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. That is what the church is all about. It's time for us to know the power, to realize the urgency of the proclamation, and to rekindle the passion of pointing always to Christ. Let's pray. While our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, I'm going to ask you, are you calling out right now, saying, Holy Spirit, I need your power. I want the power. I want fresh power. I want that power, that excitement, that enthusiasm. Even as I walk through change in my own life, in my own living, I want the freshness. I want the zeal. I need your power. God, I need your power. Maybe you're calling out to him and saying, Lord, I want to proclaim you. I want to point to you. I want others to see who you are. Not just through my living, just through my very being, just through my words, I want them to see you. Every day, I want them to see you. Maybe you're saying, Jesus, I just want to be real. Father, I just want to be real. I want to be who you created me to be. I don't want to pretend anymore. I don't want to put on a false face. When I hurt, I want people to know I hurt. When I'm embarrassed, I want people to know I'm embarrassed. When I'm struggling, I want people to know I struggle. But also when I'm happy and excited, I want people to know that too. I want to be real. If you're coming to God in that way this morning, talking to him, just lift your hand saying, Lord, I need you. I need fresh power. I need to be real. I need to be who I am. Lord bless you, 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 Lord. God sees all those hands. God sees them. Maybe you're here this morning and you have never accepted Jesus Christ into your life. You've never said, well, Lord Jesus, I want you to forgive me for all the bad stuff I've done. I give you my life today because I want to be a Christian. I want to serve you. I want your power in my life. If you're coming to him that way and saying, Lord, I want you in my heart right now, just lift your head up. Just lift your head. Lord bless you. Lord bless you. Father God, thank you for the commitment here today. Lord, it's overwhelming to know that you give us even more than we can imagine or think. All we have to do is just be who we are, who you created us to be. God, that's all you ask from us. Just like the Apostle Paul, when you changed his life, Lord, he just went around just being a messenger for you. God, thank you for transforming many lives here today. Thank you, God, for what you do for us on a daily basis. We just want to praise you enthusiastically passionately proclaim your power to other people so that the world would know you, so that the world would stop hurting. Pray this now in Jesus Christ's name. To you be the glory and the honor. Amen.